Good morning. I'm Pastor Sean Davis at Calvary Baptist Church in Clendenin, West Virginia. I read some of the news earlier today, and the governor says he's going to try to open the state back up in the next 14 days, and that's good news. And I would like to have church service here next Sunday, just the 11 o'clock worship service, no Sunday school. If you're not comfortable being here, I understand, that's fine. We'll still record it, and you can watch it from your home. If you want to come here and you want to wear a mask or gloves or whatever, that's fine also. A lot of people are still going to be doing that, I understand. And the other thing is we're still going to maintain some of the social distancing rules. No shaking hands, no hugging. Space out. We've got a big auditorium here and few people. There's plenty of room to space out and not get real close to people. So as far as I know, this is subject to change, but as far as I know, we're going to try to have church here next Sunday at 11. So I pray for all of you, and if you need anything, please contact me. This morning, I would like to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This has been a very trying time for all of us. It's hard on the preacher. I don't like to preach to an empty building. I really have some sympathy for people that preach on a radio program every week. It's hard to do. God's Word will still go out, and God is still able to do great things. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." Notice this. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Dear Lord, bless your word today. Bless those who are struggling, God, with illness. Please touch them. Heal our nation. God, have mercy on our nation. Thank you for every church that's trying to preach the gospel during this time. Be with our leaders. Help our leaders to make good and wise decisions. Thank you, God, for the leaders that we've had here in this state. Thank you for their efforts. Please be with our church family and watch over each and every one. And we ask these things, dear Lord Jesus, in your name, and amen. You know, we live in an ever-changing world, and technology is moving at a rapid pace. And a person can leave New York and be in London in 5 hours. That's an amazing feat. And you can pick up your phone, you can talk to somebody halfway around the world, and actually you can see them as you speak to them. And you can do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The computers that help send men to the moon cost $3.5 million and were as big as a car. And today, the phones that most teenagers carry are 32,000 times faster than the computers that NASA used back in 1969. So technology is amazing. It's an amazing thing. And they say that the iPhone could guide 120 Apollo mission spacecraft at the same time. That's how much computer power is in an iPhone. So surely in this day in which we live, you'd think there must be a better way to present the gospel than preaching. There must be a better way than preaching Christ crucified. Well, I'm here to report to you this morning that this is the way that pleases God. The Bible tells us here in this passage that men thought the preaching of the gospel was foolishness in Paul's day. But guess what? The world thinks it's foolishness in our day. Oftentimes, churches today have chosen to entertain people rather than preach to them. And I'm not against using technology. We're using it here this morning. And I'm not against that to get the gospel out, but let us not forget that God has chosen the medium or the means of preaching. In the Apostle Paul's day, the Romans wielded great power. They basically were the world power. So something like somebody spouting off about religion didn't impress them. They would have agreed with Karl Marx, who said that religion is the opiate of the masses. The Bible tells us here in verse 22, look at it. For the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews required a sign. The Jews were looking, when Jesus Christ walked this earth, the Jews were looking for a temporal Messiah. They were looking for someone not to deliver them from their sin, but to deliver them from the bondage that they were under. They were looking for someone to restore to them the glory of the former days. They were looking for someone, not a spiritual leader of a spiritual kingdom, but they were looking for someone of an earthly king of an earthly kingdom. They were looking for a sign. And the Bible tells us that the Jews hated and rejected Jesus Christ. But the fact is, the Word of God says one day He will rule and reign on this earth. The Bible says He will indeed establish an earthly kingdom, and He shall rule the nations, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. The Bible says here in verse 22 that the Greeks seek after wisdom. Something so simple as the gospel didn't interest the Greeks. It's just too simple. The gospel is simple. It's easy. A child can understand the gospel. Something so simple didn't appeal to the Greeks' intellect. And we even have Christians like that today. The simple gospel is just too simple for them. I think sometimes people try to muddy up the gospel. They don't like the simplicity of the gospel. But the Greeks were more interested in the wisdom of this world. A lot of folks today, just like in Paul's day, think they're too sophisticated for the gospel. I have family probably, and probably friends and co-workers who think, that's fine for you, but, you know, I understand, but I'm not interested in that. And what they're really saying is you're kind of simple-minded, you're kind of weak-minded, you go ahead, and if that's what you want to do, that's fine, but I'm not interested in that. The Greeks said, this is just too simple. This is just too simple. Well, salvation through Jesus Christ is simple. The Greeks thought that higher learning and education and wisdom, man's wisdom, was where the answers to life is found. And you know, we have a lot of folks like that today. They equate Christianity with the Dark Ages. They equate Christianity with superstition and ignorance. Think about this. For over 50 years, our public school system has told us that there is no God and has told us that everything is just a result of chance or evolution. So they've told the young people that you and I are just animals. Smart animals, but animals nonetheless. And so men have thrown off their belief of the Bible. Men have thrown off Christianity. They've become too smart. They've become wise in their own conceits, the Bible says. Men, I want to tell you, though, that men have never been naturally attracted to the gospel. Men have never been naturally attracted to the gospel. The Bible says that carnal men will not be attracted to the gospel. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That is why that God must reveal himself to man. God has to reveal himself to man. God has to quicken men. He has to open spiritually blinded eyes. And our job is not to change the gospel to make it more attractive to people. That's what a lot of times I think people think is, if we just do this, if we just, some new gimmick, some new way of making the gospel more attractive, they think, well, we'll really do something. But our job is not to change the gospel to make it more attractive to people. Jesus didn't command his disciples to go ye into all the world and try to make the gospel more fun and entertaining. That's not what he said. He didn't say that. I had a man in my church years ago. He told me, he said, I think church ought to be fun. Well, being a Baptist, I said, can you show me that in the Bible? Now, look, I like having fun, and I think you ought to have joy, and I think you ought to enjoy yourself. But the church is not a place to be entertained. It's a place to preach the gospel and to edify the saints. Men have come up with all kinds of inventions to try to draw people, but God hasn't changed His plan. It's still the preaching of the gospel. There is no other way of salvation. It's still repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ crucified is the power of God unto salvation, then, number one, there's only one way of salvation. There's only one way of salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. He is the door of the sheep, the Bible says. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. We're the unjust. He's the just. That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. There's not two ways, there's not 10 ways, there's only one way. And Jesus said it was a narrow way. So number one, there's only one way of salvation. Number two, if men are to be saved, God is going to have to do it. If men are going to be saved, God is going to have to do it. You and I cannot get men saved. I know that many years ago, and I think it's kind of died off, and I'm glad it has, there was a big push to try to get people to repeat a prayer or to sign a card or whatever. And I've even heard evangelists say, go and get that man saved. Well, you can't get somebody saved. You can't talk people into being saved. A person may talk you into buying a car. A person may talk you into buying a refrigerator or a house. But you can't talk people into being saved. That's not what it's about. J.C. Ryle, the old Anglican preacher, said a lot of preachers are like army recruiters. He said they only tell about the good things. They don't tell about going to war and sleeping out in the cold and sleeping in the heat and the sandstorms and having to actually see combat. They just talk about the nice things. There's a lot of preachers like that. They just talk about the benefits of salvation, but they don't tell people to count the cost. Jesus said count the cost. I'm not offering an army recruiter type salvation today. And you can't entertain people into being saved. Now listen, I don't mind anything that you can do that's biblical to help attract people to the gospel, but you can't entertain people into being saved. As one man said, what you've won them with, you've won them too. What you've won them with, you've won them too. In other words, if you have a dog show or a spaghetti dinner or a concert to get people to come to church, you better plan on having one next week. But they won't be back. 1 Corinthians, look at it again, chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. I want to tell you today that our churches don't need more entertainment. They need the power of God. We need the power of God in our churches. We don't need more programs, more entertainment. We need the power of God. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, number one, there's only one way of salvation. That's through Jesus Christ. Number two, if men are going to be saved, God's going to have to do it. And number three, God is to get the glory. God is to get the glory. If you're saved today, you need to give God the glory. It's not something you did. It's something that He did. Why, when men are saved, Through the simple means of the gospel, God gets the glory. God gets the glory. When somebody's saved, I like to hear testimonies of people that the preacher wasn't anywhere around and they got saved. I like to hear testimonies like that. People go home and think about things for 2 or 3 days and then get saved later. Listen, it's not man's wisdom that gets the glory. It's not preaching ability that gets the glory. It's not man's talent that gets the glory. It's not our presentation or our salesmanship that gets the glory. God gets the glory. If you'll look at verse 20 of chapter 1. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. We preach Christ crucified. I'm here this morning preaching Christ crucified. That's what pleases God. The just for the unjust. The sacrifice for our sins. The substitute. I want to ask you today, have you experienced the power of God? The power of God. If you look again at verse 18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then if you are saved today, and if you're not, let me say this, if you're not saved today, I want to beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I want to tell you, you need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But if you are saved, then you need to give God the glory because you didn't do anything. You know, the hymn writer John Newton wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. That word grace means unmerited favor. In other words, God looked down and decided to save you, and you had nothing to do with it. You didn't merit salvation in any way. He saved you by His grace. If you somehow merited it, it wasn't grace. But I got news for you today. If you're saved, it's only through the grace of God. It's through His wonderful grace. Verse 31 of chapter 1, and I'm quitting. The Bible says that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So, guess what today, folks? If you're saved, God gets all the glory. Isn't that wonderful? He gets all the glory. And you know what? We're just such failures and miserable creatures. Even after we're saved, we fail God so often. And you're not saved very long at all. Do you realize that if it wasn't for God's grace, you couldn't do it? It's all by His grace, isn't it? So thank God for that. It's the foolishness of preaching. It's the foolishness of preaching. So, Lord willing, next week we'll meet here at 11 o'clock and we'll try to have service. And if you can't be here again, I understand totally. And if you don't feel comfortable with that yet, I understand. But if you can be here, we'd love to have you here at Calvary Baptist Church at Clendenin, West Virginia. Thank you and God bless.